Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you for joining us today as we are going to look at what I believe to be one of the greatest passages in the Bible about leadership. So go ahead and grab your copies of God's Word and let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Now, I do want to caution you. This is a familiar passage, and one of the things that we often do as we have familiarity with passages, we intend to skip over them and just assume that we understand what is contained therein. That is a dangerous thought because we often miss some wonderful nuggets of truth that God has for us. So let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now let's pause right here and set this scene. We are now in a moment where Israel is having a national leadership crisis. Moses has been their leader for more than 40 years. If you remember, the children of Israel that came out of Egypt sinned against God and were forced to wander the desert until that generation died off, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Well, this generation has only ever known Moses as their leader, yet he is gone. Moses is the one that, through the power of God, had performed many miracles. He is the one that went up to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. He is the one that had served as their judge. He is the one that went into the tabernacle. He is the one that, you know, was their interface with God. And quite frankly, Moses interceded with the Lord to stem his anger because of the hardness of their hearts. This man in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10 is called the greatest prophet in the history of Israel. This is the man that Joshua has to follow. And if you look at verse 1 alone, we see that Moses is referenced as God's servant twice. And how is Joshua referred to? Simply as Moses' assistant. This is a time that even though Joshua has been described as a man with the spirit of wisdom, that Moses had laid his hand upon, that he had publicly endorsed Joshua in front of Israel, that Israel had said, "We are going to follow you, Joshua," this is still a moment of a national crisis. As they are worried about what's going to take place, just think about the thoughts going through the mind of Joshua. How do I follow this man? He was a great leader. I'm not Moses. All of this is going through his mind as Israel is having a major time of mourning for a great national leader. Yet in verse 2, God bluntly tells Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." But notice what he does here. "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people." So God is telling Joshua, "I'm not worried about your doubts. You might be mourning because your mentor is gone, the one that you looked up to, the one that you learned so much from. But Joshua, I have called you, I have prepared you, and now I am about to send you because it is time for you to get up and you to lead those people." God knows everything. God knows everything about you. He knows the thoughts that are in your mind. He knows the doubts that you have. He knows the struggles that you have. And God knows that about Joshua. And he is using that right now to minister to his earthly servant. And notice how he does this as he continues in verse 2 and verse 3 down through verse 4 and verse 5. So just follow along here. The Lord reminds him of God's faithfulness and God's power and God's guidance to Israel in their history. He says, "To the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." It's settled. It's done. "As I said to Moses," skip down to verse 5, "no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is telling Joshua, you're worried about going forward? The way that you solve that problem is by looking back at what I have done for you. I have been faithful in the past. I've told you I'm going to be faithful in the present. And you can take it to the bank that I'm going to be faithful to you in the future. That same promise is there from God for us as leaders today. If He's called you and placed you in a very specific place, that means He's equipped you. And it means that He is going to be able to get you through whatever may come in your life. Don't lose sight of the promises that God has given you because of the circumstances and the uncertainty and the doubts that you face in the present. Now, to address that, the Lord is very specific in what He says to Joshua. And this is a phrase that we have all seen as we have looked through this passage, but I want to really stop and dig in here. Because God is giving Joshua three very specific things. Verse 6, God is giving him the leader's purpose. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Now, we see here at the beginning, be strong. We also see this aspect of good courage. In Hebrew, the word there for strong means to harden. In our modern vernacular, it would be, you know, he has a backbone. It almost is a great example as a reference of concrete. You know, if you go to a local, you know, hardware store and buy that bag, it's going to be sandy, it's dry. You mix it in with water to the desired consistency, and then what do? You pour it, and then you let it sit. Because the longer that it sits, the harder that it gets. So what God is telling Joshua here, you need to harden yourself. You're going to face battles, and you need to be hardened. You need to be firmly established. You need to be set in what you are going to do. That is a call that every single leader needs to face. Why? Because if we wait until the difficulties arise, it's too late. God is telling him going into the land, you need to be strong. The second word there is to persist in. It's that aspect of courage is referencing endurance, perseverance, longevity. You know, the original term here references something being placed perpendicular. So think about that as an imagery of a foundation. You know, my wife loves to hang clothes out on the line outside to dry rather than using our dryer. So I have to pour concrete to allow it to harden, to then attach that clothesline so that it is rooted firmly, but it is attached and it is going up. What God is telling Joshua here is not only you to be hardened, but you need to be firmly attached to something so that when the storm comes, you will weather that storm. I mean, you think about lighthouses. You know, here in North Carolina, the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, one of the most enduring of all that we know in the country, the storms that it has weathered, why? Because of the foundation, because of the endurance, because of the materials, the hardness from which it is made. And that is what God is hammering home this point to Joshua, that your purpose is to take the children of Israel into this land that has been promised for centuries. It's not going to be easy. You're going to face some giants. You're going to face a giant city by the name of Jericho. You're going to face some difficulties. And in order to endure, in order to follow and meet your leader's purpose, you need to be strong. And you need to be courageous. So first of all, we see this aspect of God telling Joshua about his leader's purpose. When we get to verse 7, we're going to see number 2, which is God talking to Joshua about a leader's principle. Now, this is what I'm talking about, where we get familiar with the passage and we'll rush through it. Let's read verse 7. It says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, we see there it is again, be strong and courageous, right? Well, yes, but there's a difference. And that difference is one word, and that one word is astounding here. The word is only. And if you look at Hebrew, the word only references above all, the primary, most important. Don't lose sight of this fact. So God is saying you need to be hardened, you need to have a backbone, you need to be set, but you also need to endure. You need to be prepared to weather storms. You need to have longevity. And what? What does the last part of verse 7 say? That you may observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you, when you are not to turn from the right hand nor to the left. In other words, God is telling Joshua this aspect of strength, this aspect of endurance, the most important way that you can show that is by being in my word. Quite frankly, leaders across the country will run to mission statements, will run to corporate values, will run to personal visions. Those are great. But the best place for you to spend your time and for you to spend your effort is in God's word. His truth never changes. And that's where we often fall short as leaders. We look elsewhere when God's word is clearly here for us. If we adopt secular leadership principles, then the results are going to be more secular oriented. We need to be standing upon God's word. If we can trust God's word in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we can trust in God's word for our eternal destiny, then we should be able to trust God's word for leadership principles that we can live and abide by. And what God is telling Joshua here is very simple. Don't deviate. Don't leave what you have been set into in God's word. But look at verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You need to read it. You need to memorize it. You need to study it. But then look at what it says continuing. And you shall meditate in it day and night. You need to be thinking about it throughout the day, not just read in the morning and then forget it the rest of the day, or not just read in the evening and forget the next day. It always needs to be in front of you. Why? Because the world is going to assault you with things, and God's word has the answers in how to deal with that. But then it goes one step further. You're not just reading, studying, pondering, talking, and thinking about it, but why? Because if you do that, it says that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. If your thoughts are on God's word, if you're thinking about it, then guess what's going to happen? Then you're going to change what you believe. And remember what you heard at the introduction of this session. Today's beliefs and today's behaviors determine who you become tomorrow. If you are always dwelling upon God's word, that is going to shape your beliefs into a specific way that is then going to shape your behaviors in a specific way. God is not telling Joshua, just comply with me externally. He is saying, my word needs to get into your heart, because when it gets into your heart, it's going to change your belief system. And Joshua, when your belief system is changed, your behaviors are going to change. I want you to become more like me. Why? Because if you live like me, you're going to lead like me, Joshua. That is what God has laid out for him. And he doesn't say, I'm going to give you fame. I'm going to give you fortune. No, he says you're going to be successful, but that success is faithfulness to God's purpose and God's principles. So we see very clearly that Joshua is to be strong and of good courage. Why? Because it reveals his purpose, it reveals his principles. But number three, here in verse 9, we are going to see that Joshua as a leader needs a specific presence. So God goes from a demonstrative statement in telling him certain things that he needs to do and he must do to phrasing it in a question. God says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? It's a rhetorical question because it's there. But what has not God commanded him to do? God has not. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. God lays it out there. I've said this multiple times. Joshua, let me give it to you a third time. We know that if God's word says something once, it's important. But if we see it three times, boy, that is something we need to get a hold of. But God once again is telling him, Joshua, harden yourself. Joshua, be prepared to persist. And because of those things, God tells him, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? Because there's the promise that we heard earlier in verse 5 where God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. God here in verse 9 says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My friends, that same promise is available to you as a Christian. God is with you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to let you flounder. He's not going to let you fall. There may be difficulty in your life, but he has a purpose and a plan for that. We know that when Joshua goes into the land, they have this miraculous situation that occurs at Jericho, but then there is a major fall in front of a smaller city at Ai. God didn't violate his promise. The Lord was still with Joshua. But there were some things that he had to deal with. So we see here a leader's purpose. We see a leader's principles. And we see a leader needs a specific presence. Now, Joshua in verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. We see Joshua at the beginning of this book here. He's facing a national leadership crisis and he's got doubts. God gives him encouragement, specifically tells him to be strong, tells him to be courageous, and it says the most important thing that you can do as a leader, Joshua, is you have to be focused on following my law. Look to my truth, because if you look there, when the storms come, you're going to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. You're not going to face those shifting sands. You're going to be strong. And now Joshua turns to his people as a leader, as a man, and he says, folks, it's time to go. Follow me. Joshua could only turn to the nation of Israel and say, follow me, because he bent. And that pressure that is created when the bowstring is released, that is the force that is transferred to the arrow that allows that arrow to fly towards its target. You can draw that bowstring back without an arrow and let it go. That's called a dry fire. That will absolutely destroy your bow. It has to be attached to the arrow. And guess what? The arrow is not going to fly unless it is attached to the bowstring. That connection, that moment for our lives and for our leadership is when we fear the Lord. It's what gives us the ability to move forward in our lives in doing things that are holy, in doing things that are humble, in doing things that are honoring to God. If you want wisdom as a leader, you have to start with fearing the Lord. There's nowhere else. You can seek dictionaries. You can go to Wikipedia. You can Google whatever. You can go back and read the old World Book encyclopedias. But the endless string of facts has no meaning unless you have the right lens, unless you can connect them to the correct things, unless your worldview is what it should be, and that worldview is that you fear the Lord, that you see how awe-inspiring God is, that your life changes to match His. That's the challenge for you as a leader. Does your life reflect the fear of the Lord? If not, today's the day to change. Today is the day that you can move from knowledge to wisdom. And in that relationship, when you misapply wisdom and you dig into God's word, you will receive instruction to change it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Live a wise life so that you can lead in a wise way. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care. Learning, meditating, and knowing Him. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics of how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not too distant future. You take care. Lays out an if and a then, a cause and an effect. And the central core to the if, then, and the cause and effect is you and me. Are we looking at this world? Are we looking at life through the prism of the fear of the Lord? Or are we looking at it through the prism of the fear of man? The answer to that question determines whether we will accept, listen, call for, and seek wisdom. It is my hope and it is my prayer that you are on the path of wisdom with colleagues that are on the path of wisdom. Don't turn back. Don't jump to the other path. Seek God and watch what He teaches you. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.